engineering medical schools. I'm now talking to somebody on the faculty of medical school, the admission committee. Oh, Sam, you missed it by one. Darn. However, I'll tell you what we're going to do for you. You spend a year working with a doctor you probably never heard of by the name of Jonas Salk. I'm sure it'll be valuable to you. You work there and help him out as a volunteer. And you'll be first on the list for entrance to medical school. They kept their word, but it always gave me a bad taste in my mouth when I subsequently discovered that probably 80-90% of these volunteers in different departments in the medical school were Jewish boys. In those days, you would only have 6 or 7 Jewish students. I don't know, have you ever run across this before? Have you ever?
No, not in our interviews. Yeah, but I know that well.
Maybe they were too
embarrassed. You know that's why Montefiore was started.
Sure. Sure. I hope you got the whole story of what sunk Montefiore, why it went belly up. Well, the so-called full-time people were there, and it's a great hospital brought in. Literally pushed all the...
I don't mean the version. Do you have the story?
I have the story, not the version.
Yeah.
But all the doctors who had worked so hard all these years, Hirschitz, Murray Sachs, who was the ENT on Silverblatt, Joe Feingold, they all were pushed aside. They come in and for 30 years they were on a schedule at 7 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning to do their surgery. Now the full-time surgeons who were brought in as outsiders were given the privilege of having the best times to operate. And these fellows were given 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I don't know. I presume this is the story you got because the people with whom I spoke, it was consistent with the story. So what they did is they went to Shadyside, they went to Central Medical, and they really sunk the hospital. As a result, they didn't have the admissions. Stupidity, rigidity.
I thought you were going to tell the story of how the university...
Well, the university took it over because they were going belly up.
The entire medical scene changed radically.
Oh,
my. What should we say? 10 years?
Understatement. Well, I started out in 61 and gradually added to my staff over there. Never had any other office. Dr. Niels Weig, who's Joe Feingold's nephew, joined me. Alan Yates did, who came out as a student to practice part of his medical school training, joined us. Lydia Saris joined us. Carol Myers joined us. The university bought the practice last year. But when I retired because of my health 5 years ago, we had 14 people in the office. They had quite a good reputation, I must say so. I don't think I finished the story of how I got on the staff at St. Clair. So Claire Jean Babb, who was one of my students, ran into me one day and she says, come to this meeting tomorrow, the membership committee. And I went there. She says, I want to introduce you to Dr. Sam Tischerman, who was one of my professors. And it's a crime, it's a shame he hasn't been on our staff. He could add so much to the staff. But he's filled out the application, and we're going to vote him in. We're going to vote him in to the staff today.
For no apparent... I'm confused. Did you mention that you had been turned down before?
Oh, sure. When I saw her, I told her the story. She said, well, you meet me tomorrow. Remember? So I went on to the staff. Subsequently, two of my partners became chief of medicine. it was interesting. Again, it's a good example. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right. Was this Clara Jean, the one that died?
She is the one that died in the airplane crash.
Delightful
person, brilliant, very bright. She and her husband, unfortunately, were taken too soon. So, I had a fairly active life in medicine. I was a member of the County Medical Society and a member of the Board of Directors. One of the interesting things is, who's the rabbi, who's the doctor?
Tursky.
Always sat next to me at the meetings. And he would bring his brown bag, and I would sit there and eat Govan Martin's seafood dip, which was crab. Uncomfortable idiot. It was good. I was president of the Western Pennsylvania Society of Internal Medicine. I was slated to be president the year I had a heart attack, so I quickly withdrew. I was active lecturing for the American Heart Association.
You've given us a lot on your medical experiences, starting as a young man.
Oh, I started doing research in 1960, and I've carried it on since, and I now have the largest study on a very rare disease in the world. The disease of the adrenal gland, a tumor referred to as pheochromocytoma, and it's very rare.
I think you better spell it.
Pheochromocytoma here. I don't know if I can spell it. You're asking
you
too much.
There.
That would be important for us to have.
It was written up in the Post Gazette and the PAA. Also, the publication in Oncology. Do you have some of my papers there? Did you pick them up by chance?
I think I gave it back to you. Yeah, no, this is.
Are you sure you gave them
up? Right there? Over there.
We would appreciate it if, after we're through with the interview, if it be possible for us to have copies of that to include in the history.
There it is, over there.
Okay.
I see there's a Barbara Tishman here.
My wife.
Was she at, she's not a, an MD.
No. She helped in the interview. This was a write up in the paper a couple of years ago. You can have that.
Good.
Thank
you.
Know,
if there are things that we can have copies
Wonderful.
Made, we can have
this
copies
we can
made.
Have this. I have some of the copies in the back that I can sign for.
And you say you began that research in 1990? 1960. I'm sorry.
Seen over 600 people in the family. I was asked to speak in Germany this summer, but I had to turn it down. Here's a write-up. And the Winged Head. That's the publication of the PAA. I'm on the membership committee. My father, I'll show you. Plus.
Winged Head.
He knew
May
I
we have this too?
The member. I think I have another copy or I'll get a Xerox.
If you would like to offer us these things to borrow, we will take them to Anathan House and make copies.
Yeah, if you'd like.
Here you can have this. This was a write-up in the Medical Alumni News.
Wait a minute. The Winged Head is from where?
PAA, Pittsburgh Athletic Association.
And here is the spelling of that.
Yeah,
word.
I got that.
I've been very active at the PAA. I'm on the membership committee. Frequently gather. I lived there for 6 months after my wife and I separated.
Now, this pheochromocytoma.
Right.
What, where, I didn't read the description of it, so what does that affect? What part of the body is it?
It's a tumor of the central portion, the medulla of the adrenal gland, that produces adrenaline, and it does its mischief by secreting huge amounts of adrenaline. And though it's only 10% malignant from an invasive point of view, it's practically 100% malignant from a physiologic point of view. The patient dies, high blood pressure, produces tremendous elevation of the blood pressure. There's some of my work stacked out around here.
Is this a genetic disease
that's right.
particular to any group, ethnic group?
Not to any ethnic group that we know of, though a lot of cases are from Germany. It's transmitted as a dominant with a high degree of penetrance. And in this, I've seen, as I said, over 600, we picked up about 31 cases. Not only is it a matter of medical interest and research, but it's a matter of saving lives, which you don't often do in medicine. The individual is spared a lot of heartaches later in life because they die of heart disease and strokes from the chronic hypertension produced by the excessive amounts of adrenaline secreted by the tumor.
Is this the kind of thing that is difficult for a family doctor to find?
Extremely difficult. I lectured up at the Katanning Hospital on several occasions to try to alert the family practitioners in the area of the prevalence of this, because a great number, probably at least a couple thousand, live in the Ford City Katanning area.
Is it an environmental cause in any way?
No, strictly genetic. It's only been discovered, the actual genotype was only discovered about 3 years ago. And I worked with people down at the NIH. And I've also, my work's also been included in an international study, not a publication.
Does this new article about this medicine that in mice, you know, that they've been giving to any relation to it?
Not at all. This is an international article.
Is it a glandular thing?
It's a tumor of a gland. The adrenal gland.
Not a tumor of
the
adrenal gland.
You said the medulla.
The medulla of the,
adrenal,
which is another term is used, the central portion. That's an international article.
May we have this?
No, that one I'll have to make
public. All right. Anything that you are willing to lend us to have copies made, we'll be happy to do that in return to you.
Well, I think I would prefer to have them made myself. The newspaper article I gave you. The first publication of this was in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which is the most widely, that one you can have. This is the most widely distributed medical journal. And then I presented papers on it to the, they used to call it monoxidic beans, which are the.
I see you did it with Dr. Panowski.
Yes, he's the one that retained the funds for me. Ted Anowski was a terrific individual. He advised me. Frank Gregg had a huge practice here. Chased us back now to the 1700s in the family, but I don't know if it's that side of the family from whence came the mutation.
How did you
mutation.
Get interested in this?
It's a good story. I always took pride in taking histories of patients. I've emphasized to my medical students, I've taught all these years at the medical school, that if you take an adequate history, you can almost make a diagnosis 90% of the time. But doctors were losing Gesundheit. Doctors were skimping on the history. In the course of the history of this individual, when I was interned, I admitted a young man. He told me for high blood pressure, he had his thyroid taken out for these symptoms. But of course, he didn't have thyroid disease at Mercy a few years before. He told me about his sister who had a funny kind of high blood pressure.
A funny kind,
he's right. And they did surgery on her. And then he mentioned about a brother who had died up at the VA with high blood pressure. And about two cousins who were at Presby with a funny kind of, with high blood pressure and tumor. And it so happened I was at that conference 2 years before. My God, I said, two fellows have to be a chromocytoma. And this patient I'm interviewing has a classical story for the chromocytoma. That afternoon, I was so excited. I went up to the VA and pulled out the brother's record. Sure enough, his blood pressure went like this. In fact, it was so paroxysmal that there was an error there by the nurse. Checked by Dr. So-and-so, she couldn't believe herself that in a matter of 15 minutes or so, the blood pressure went from 240 over 130 to 130 over 80. She couldn't believe it. And the x-rays of the kidneys in those days, they didn't have MRIs, showed that the kidney was rotated as if displaced by a mass, but nobody followed up on it. And then I went to Children's Hospital and got the story on his niece. It turned out she had the chromocytoma. So it turned out that right there I had five cases of the
Do you think that if a doctor, a family doctor, knows the whole family, it's more likely to find these things than to be sent to specialists?
Oh, sure. You can find it by doing a simple test. Complicated test, probably you have to send it to Pittsburgh or something. But I've now located close to 10,000 people in the family. If you look at that thick book there, you'll see, pull it out, family tree like you've never seen. Now this disease is also associated with a very peculiar familial tumor called von Hippel-Lindau, VHL. And these two go together in the genes. Large percentage of patients with one and one down via chromocytoma, just to give you an idea of the names I have. About 11 siblings.
When you evaluate them, are you doing that yourself? Do you have other people who are doing things for you to enumerate these things?
Well, initially, up until three years ago, we had a become suspicious on the basis of the history of the patient who had headache, nervousness, excessive sweating. Those were the three cardinal symptoms. And then we would evaluate them. Now all we have to do is draw blood, and if they have the particular genotype, the mutation of the gene, then we really evaluate them thoroughly for the disease.
This is very fascinating, but for lay people, it's very difficult to understand.
Oh, yes, very difficult.
Did you have clinical trials? You haven't had any kind of, I mean, have there been tests? There wouldn't be clinical trials like they do in other studies, but there would be some kind of...
Well, I'd hold family picnics. I'd go to family picnics, or I'd hold a reunion or something.
Uh-huh.
Go up to the Ford Cliff, Pennsylvania. I think most of the people, their acquaintances, go up there and they'd get together 100 members of the family. Took my son along. My wife would come along and help him fill out the forms.
Your son's medical doctor, too.
Yes, Sammy.
We should get his, family history.
My immediate family, my eldest son is born in 59, Samuel Aaron. He's married to Susie Dunmire Tishman, whom he met in medical school.
Married to Susan Dunmire?
Dunmire.
D-U-N-M-I-R-E.
Right.
And she's a physician, too.
She's a specialist. Emergency room medicine. She lectured at Cambridge, England, last year. She lectured in Germany about a year ago. She also lectured in Austria, Moscow, Hong Kong.
Do you have other children?
Austria. Yes, Sam has also been doing research. He has an international reputation on resuscitation of people with fatal arrhythmias using a heart-lung bypass. Also, he's involved in hypothermia with Peter Safford, and he was on ABC television a couple nights ago.
Is he a cardiologist?
No, he is a trauma surgeon and specialist in critical care. He has boards in both. And my daughter-in-law, Sue, has boards in emergency room medicine.
Wait, you got to go back. He's doing research on...
Hypothermia.
And I can spell...
Cardioversion of... I have all articles back there about him.
Cardioversion, V-E-R-S-I-O-N?
V-E-R-S-I-O-N. Cardioversion of fatal arrhythmias.
Fatal
patients
arrhythmia.
Who haven't responded to the shock or chemical. He has an international reputation in that regard. He's with Chuck Watson at Tracy.
And he, when you mentioned that his field was...
Trauma surgery, critical care medicine. His boards and
surgery.
His marvelous reputation. I lost my identity. I'm now Dr. Sam Fisherman's son. He graduated MIT. My younger son graduated Harvard. In writing.
What's your younger son's name and when was he born?
William Ross.
He was born?
I think 61. Oh, my Sammy, I didn't finish.
Oh.
My Sammy has a son, Robert, named after Robert Grauer, my cousin. Did you know Dr. Grauer?
No.
Juliet.
Judy. We know her as Judy.
His son is
Robert.
Robert.
Not Bob. Robert.
Robert. And he was born, you know the...
He's 8 years old. He just turned 8.
Okay. So that's 1990 probably.
Yep.
This is 1998.
And he has twin sisters. Rebecca.
Robert has twin sisters.
Robert has twin sisters. These cats are unusually friendly. In fact, if you read books about the whole library of cats, they'll tell you the people say that Tonkinese were bred for people, and they'll invariably jump on your shoulder. He must have read the book because the day I brought him home, he was this big. He looks at me and jumps on my shoulder. Right, Tonky?
The twin daughters are Rebecca and
Sarah.
With an H or without?
No, without the H.
Without the H. And do you know when
Rebecca's
they were born?
Rebecca's named after my mother. They're 6.
92.
And it's nice when you mention that you smile.
Sammy brings them over. I was over there for my birthday the other day with Natalie.
So they have the 3 children.
Yeah. And my younger boy graduated Harvard and honors. Well, Sammy graduated first of his class. Medical school. He got 6 or 7 awards in 3rd year in school. Top of surgery, top of medicine. And boy,
where did he graduate?
Pitt. He went to MIT first.
Well, that sounds like a good gene.
Yeah.
The bank that they come from.
He, the marvelous kid.
Now, one of
my younger boy, Bill William Ross, have two twins.
Twins running your
twin
family.
Boys, identical.
My
I'll show you their pictures.
They are
two, two and a half. He lives in
north of the White Plains, a place called Katona, New York.
K-A-T-O-N-A.
He was editor of the Wine Spectator. I have it in there. Just recently. Died.
My daughter, Susan Marley.
Richmond.
Marley.
Susan Marlene.
Marlene. Richmond. R-I-C-H?
I believe so.
Is that microphone picking it up on my head?
Hope so. Shall we try? Okay, we're on William, and he graduated.
He was
from Harvard.
Graduated from Harvard, Hodge. He lives in Katona, as I said.
Yeah. And you did tell me who he was married to, or didn't you?
Her name is Billy Cohn.
Her name is Billy also?
Yes.
Billy.
Bill and Billy,
okay. And her maiden name, or?
Cohen.
Okay.
Incidentally, I don't know if I mentioned Sammy's wife is Presbyterian, but they agreed prior to getting married, they'd bring the kids up as Jews. She's the one who's really promoting this. It was interesting, on New Year's Day, 8 o'clock in the morning, our doorbell rang. Sammy arrived with Sue to tell us and say that they had decided to bring the kids up as Jews as he wanted. He met her in medical school, and they would pick up every stray dog and cat around the Ruskin. And when he would have to stay overnight, say at McGee Hospital, he would bring Nuggy, his dog, over to stay with Grandma and Grandpa. So one day, he arrives with a dog sitting in the front seat and Sue, his future wife, sitting in the back seat. Sue, why don't you sit in the front seat? She said, oh, Nuggy prefers to sit in the front seat. So when Nuggy saw them coming in the car, he's sitting in our window, ruff, ruff, very excited. He dashes to the door, but he doesn't dash to my son. He dashes to Sue, his classmate. Hey, Sam, I thought that Nuggy's your dog. So he turns crimson, Sue turns crimson, and he says, well, Sue gives him Oreo cookies. And I looked at my wife, and I looked at Nuggy, and I said, Nuggy, if you could only talk. And then it was a few months later that he came to tell us that they were going to marry. She is such a wonderful person. Dad, when you come to dinner, heaven sing, she calls and tells me. Sue's went to Tufts. All my money went up to Boston. And then she went to international management to the American School of International Management. Phoenix. There's a nickname for it, I can't think of it. And then we sent her on the ship that goes around the semester at sea, goes around the world. And that's where she met Eric. She was accepted to law school, so to two different law schools. She was working for a law firm in Washington. I said, there's so many lawyers around, I could use her better in international management. It would be a waste of time for her to go to law school, so she stuck with international management. They have two children, Blake and Margo, M-A-R-G-E-G-U-E-X, something like that.
As a geneticist.
I'm not really a geneticist.
I was going to say, don't you feel that it's good to have a different gene pool coming into the family instead of just all of the Ashkenazi Jews?
Very definitely. Very definitely.
There's a positive way of looking at things.
I particularly am interested in that.
You're right.
Well, wait, I'm a little lost. I thought Sam's wife was also a doctor.
Yes, Dr. Susie Dunmire.
But you're talking about her being in international management, or are we...
Oh, that's my daughter. I'm sorry.
Ah,
see, I
feature very
Sam,
confused. Okay.
Bill, and Sue.
Yes, she did say that.
Susie.
Now,
her husband comes from Susan.
Sue's daughter is married to...
Eric Richmond.
Eric, okay. That's where the... I was really getting lost.
Well, you've given us some wonderful things on the medical background. Have you been involved in any other kind of activities in the community than the medical? Is it all key to
For a
the
short
medical?
Time, I was with the Squirrel Hill Coalition. And I kept myself busy doing stained glass.